The battle over books is escalating as a growing number of public libraries now face a loss of government funding if they have books deemed inappropriate. Some of the latest targets are in Missouri. As NPR's Tovia Smith reports, libraries are worried about how they'll manage.
It's the newest weapon being deployed in the fight over books, and in Missouri, it's coming at libraries from multiple directions. Lawmakers have been considering several bills that could axe library funding. Those efforts now look unlikely, but meantime, Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft stepped in, enacting what's called an administrative rule that doesn't need legislative approval.
I said, I have to figure out how to do this because by rule, I can get it done much more quickly than if I wait on the legislature.
The new rules go into effect May 30th, and public libraries will have a short grace period to comply or lose state funding, which ranges from 1 to 20% of their budget. Under the rules, libraries can't give minors books their parents don't want them to read, there can't be books in the kids section that are, quote, age inappropriate, and libraries have to publicize how they select books and how parents can challenge those choices. Also, all events, like story hours, must have, quote, age-appropriate designations. It's all happening as books are being banned from libraries at rates unseen in recent history. Most have to do with LGBTQ themes or race and racism. But Ashcroft says tying funding to book selection is not banning books.
I think this is reasonable strings on dollars. We see that all the time with government funding. It happens with highways, it happens with schools. That is the way of the world.
But Ashcroft concedes it's unclear how exactly the Missouri rules would be enforced.
I really don't know how it would work. I could potentially see maybe a parent sues my office and says, hey, you're not allowed to fund them. They're not doing what they said they're doing. But that would then be decided in a court of law.
I think we're just all in shock. I mean, it's not clear cut at all. How in the world is this going to work? And there's just so much that can go wrong.
Otter Bowman, president of the Missouri Library Association, has been scrambling with attorneys to figure out how to comply with the new rules and how to interpret terms like age appropriate. That's all on top of her day job, keeping up with her regular library work.
So you guys know how I got here, right?
Yeah.
I came on the bookmobile.
Bowman brings library books from the Daniel Boone Regional Library to preschoolers in central Missouri and runs story times.
Hello, I am Ducky Duckling. When I'm feeling happy, I say, quack, quack.
The happy face Bowman puts on for the kids
belies
her anxiety about the new rules. It's impossible, she says, for librarians to police which kids take which books or to stop teens, for example, from wandering into the adult section of the library, even though any of that could prove catastrophic.
It's terrifying. I could go home thinking, oh my goodness, I just cost my library $160,000 because that's the amount of state aid that we would lose if we violated the rule.
Any proposal to defund a library is the nuclear option.
Deborah Caldwell Stone of the American Library Association says what started as skirmishes over individual titles and escalated into threats of jail or fines is now posing an existential threat to libraries.
It's an attack on education. It's an attack on the public good. And the idea is very much alive and gaining steam.
Indeed, in Texas, a bill would defund public libraries that allow drag show story times for children. And while Llano County in Texas just dodged a bullet that would have defunded libraries there, others were not so lucky. In Jamestown Township, Michigan, the Patmos Library is facing closure after voters shut down local funding. And in Arkansas, the Craighead County Jonesboro Library System saw its funding cut in half following complaints about books and an LGBTQ exhibit. Arkansas State Senator Dan Sullivan represents the area and supported the local cuts.
The citizens thought some material was too sexually explicit to be in the children's section or even in the young adult section, and the library board disagreed and kept the material where it was. And that's why we vote. The citizens have the final say. That's the American way.
Sullivan dismisses accusations that anyone is trying to bully libraries into compliance.
All elections send a message. You know, it's the will of the people. And if they're upset with how the government is spending their money, that's the recourse of the electorate.
But meantime, the Craighead County Libraries are fighting to survive. Library Director Vanessa Adams says she's considering closing branches and slashing book buys, staff, programming for kids and the elderly, and library hours, which would limit internet access for many people who don't have it at home.
It's very frightening. It's very upsetting. You have to take drastic measures. And it's nothing I learned in library school.
Adams also worries the funding threats are a slippery slope. Carol Daw is already seeing it. She's the director of a library cooperative in Michigan that's working with the recently defunded Patmos Library.
One of the board members said, well, what about this book? It's about underage drinking, and underage drinking is illegal, so why would we have this book in the library? And my question would be, where does that end? What are you doing next? Where does this end?
Republican Congressman Clay Higgins from Louisiana has a thought on that. Higgins, who didn't respond to requests for comment, recently tweeted that libraries have become grooming centers, and he wants to change the, quote, whole public library paradigm and help get funding for what he called beautiful church-owned public access libraries.
I will tell you, I am not supposed to swear on NPR, but that's some of the scary I've ever heard.
Alexi Janulius is Secretary of State in Illinois. Instead of threatening to cut funding for libraries that refuse to remove certain books, Janulius decided to use that same tactic in reverse, punishing libraries that do ban books. Now, legislation is headed to the governor's desk that would make state library grants available only to those that explicitly oppose book bans.
And this is our way of pushing back the other way. You know, in Chicago, they say, if they bring a knife, you bring a gun.
As one lawmaker put it, taxpayer money should not go to libraries that cave to the mob and ban books. But others are less sanguine. Caldwell Stone from the American Library Association says she appreciates the sentiment, but believes it's unwise for anyone to use funding as a club to control which books get on library shelves. The better strategy, she says, is knowing where elected officials stand on the freedom to read and holding them accountable at the ballot box. Vanessa Adams, the director of the Arkansas Library, whose funding was sliced in half, learned that the hard way. Only 20% of voters showed up to cast ballots, and the cut passed by just 48 votes.
If that doesn't tell you how important it is to get out there and vote, I don't know what does, because 48 votes cost us $2 million.
Now, Adams is spending some of the money the library has left on a consultant to help with public messaging. As she puts it, we need to remind people about the value of their public library. Tovia Smith, NPR News.